Okay, so let's talk a little bit about tsaras and the response to tsaras and the after effect of tsaras. So the Torah doesn't trace tsaras as a punishment to lashon hara. It's just an illness that occurs, your body, your clothing, your house. But Chazal are looking for hints in the Torah. Now, obviously we have a Masara, but what are the hints in the Torah that it's based on lashon hara, that it's a punishment for lashon hara, it's a consequence of lashon hara? So there really are two hints. One is more famous, one is less famous. But they each represent different aspects of the pathology of lashon hara, the way we fall into lashon hara, the way we... One of the Chafetz Chaim's great achievements was to put the Isser lashon hara back on the table, back in people's imagination. And in many ways, it saved people in a rapidly changing world, because the world of the Chafetz Chaim was very different than the world of 300-400 years ago, because of rapid changes in communication. Newspapers, telegraphs, ultimately telephony. See, part of the problem is, when it comes to lashon hara, is number one, there is no map in Chazal, because there can't be a map, because everything is really contextual. Based on, if I say, Jason, oh, you're a dog or something, but you know I like you, so you probably interpret that contextually to mean, you know, you're a cool, you know, whatever. The word dog in the modern context, maybe you're a cool person or something, or a cool cat or something. Or you look at the body language, you know the person. Is it a shidduch? Is it for a recommendation for work? Which you have to provide a more honest response. So it's extremely, extremely difficult to map lashon hara, which is why Chazal didn't. It's not in the Gemara. There's one Gemara in Bava Basra, a few lines in Erechin. There's really very little in Shulchan Aruch, because it's almost impossible. But because it's impossible, because it doesn't inhabit the halachic universe, it's not documented in the same way, and because it's a very difficult issur to be, you know, to keep, so it tends to fall into disregard, disrepair. So the Chafetz Chaim put it back on the table in a rapidly changing world. The problem is the world changed again. As quick as it changed in the early part of the late 19th century, early 20th century, it rapidly revolutionized again. It's very hard even to read the Chafetz Chaim Sefer as a halachic work, because the second something's out on the internet today, three people know about it. Once three people know about it, it's almost difficult to consider it lashon hara. So it's important to read the Sefer, but it's really hard to arrive at a psak. It has to be something that's based on an internal moral code, internal personal code, trying to keep the halach as best as you can, with as good intentions as you can. So anyway, what are the two traces in Chazal? What are the two anchors in the Pesukim? So the obvious one is that the person who's stricken with tsaras has to leave all three machanos. Badad Yeshev Michutz L'machne Moshavo, which is very, very uncommon. No one, none of the Tumeim have to leave all three machanos. At most, certain types of severe people that are Tameh have to leave two machanos. They can't be in the Beis HaMikdash, nor can they be in Machane Levi, which is effectively Yerushalayim. But the most people, namely, a Tameh Meis can stay in Yerushalayim. A Zav has to leave Yerushalayim, but a Metzar has to leave even Yerushalayim, has to leave all three machanos. So Rashi says, because his statements were divisive and were corrosive, and they led to social fissures, and they led to strife and tension and disunity. And Rashi says, in particular, created disharmony and discord between a man and a wife by perhaps slandering one or two and breaking down the relationship of trust and the bonds of trust, or between two people. Language of Rashi, who hivdil belashon hara bein ish leishto uvein ish l'rehu, af hu yavdil. So he divided and he created discord, so he has to be socially isolated. He has to be socially divided or separated from other people. That's their classic view of lashon hara. Slander, which is injurious and harmful, which assaults human relationships, the trust, dishonesty, causes suspicion. But then there's another entry into the world of lashon hara, and another symbol to Chazal that lashon hara is caused or generated, or tsaras is generated by lashon hara. If you look at the Mitzvah's ceremony, the ceremony to reintroduce him into society, very strange. Some of the ceremony is familiar to us. What happens? He takes a string, a red string, an eitz erez, an ezov, a reed, dips it into something, mayim chayim. By the way, what does it sound like? It's not in Rashi, but why is this the process of the matzara? What does it sound like a little bit? Reed, red string. Not really Yom Kippur. The red string is Yom Kippur, but paraduma, recovery from death, a certain death that's associated with breaking moral bonds. There's another time the ceremony is featured. Tzias Mitzrayim. The night of Tzias Mitzrayim, where they dipped it into the blood. Lokach Ezov, the god Ezov. So because he spoke Lashon Hara and he led to social corrosion, he has to be reintroduced into society by reconnecting him with the founding moment of Jewish history. That's something larger than your own pernicious interest in saying Lashon Hara. But that doesn't appear in Rashi. If you look in Rashi, let me find the Rashi here. Yeah. He takes two birds. Now, two birds we know, okay, from the two birds of a woman who gives birth, actually, in Parshas Tezriah. So two birds is a pretty common, pretty familiar type of a korban. The problem is that one of the birds gets set free. One of the birds is shechted and one is set free. But right off the bat, it's a very strange, and it's not clear whether this is a real korban. There's a lot of halacha questions whether this is a real korban. So why the birds? So Rashi says, Shehu asa maisa pitpute devarim. He chirped, he gossiped, like a bird chirps, endlessly singing. Very interesting, Rashi. We envision Saras as this person who has wicked interests, is malicious, wants to create division and strife, wants to create tension between people, wants to slander, wants to gain, maybe not necessarily by creating corrosion. Suddenly you're Lashon Hara, you gain your own ego, you say things that position you in a way that's more superior to other people, you put them down, you try to create distrust between others so that you can rise in your social reputation. This is a very different portrait of Lashon Hara. This is someone just gossips, just talks. Birds aren't pernicious, birds aren't malicious, they're not looking to create. They're just chirping all the time. And if you talk a lot, and if you're not careful about how you talk, and you don't have certain boundaries, you will involuntarily, nonchalantly, without realizing it, fall into Lashon Hara. So this is a very, very different portrait of Lashon Hara. This isn't an evildoer who premeditates the impact of Lashon Hara. This is just someone who's not careful and just talks too much. A member of Liechtenstein was very uncomfortable talking about people. Even in ways that weren't, it's just that wasn't his interest to talk about people and their lives and their pettiness and their. Eleanor Roosevelt, the wife of FDR, once said that small minds speak about people, average minds speak about events, and large minds speak about ideas. And I think our world is falling into a place in which we talk a lot about people, maybe about events. Sometimes I don't watch them anymore, but when I used to watch game shows, and people would excel and champion, know how smart they are, how incredible, how impressive. It's tragic because they're wasting what evidently is a good mind and a great memory on meaningless trivia, on stupid, irrelevant trivia. Who cares about celebrity news and who cares about statistics and even events that may have importance? I mean, ideas and wisdom are so much more important to invest in emotionally and intellectually. So that person knows 3 out of 5 top cultural. It's sad to me. And of course, our culture celebrates it. And now that our culture is so voyeuristic and so exhibitionist, and we're putting everything out on social media, it's really important that B'nai Torah, who will be using social media, and social media changes every 6-7 years as a new platform, there's some really important religious questions about how to use social media. And those questions don't begin and end with whether you're posting inappropriate or viewing inappropriate content and or saying Lashon Hara. There's a lot of important questions about self-promotionalism and self-aggrandizement and the need to be liked by other people. And some really important, you can decide you don't want to use social media. I've decided I want to use social media, but I think a lot about what I should post, what I shouldn't post, how I should post it, what types of pictures I should include. So this is a much more, I think, relevant dimension of Lashon Hara. It's not the, I think very few of us are malicious. Very few of us are mendacious. We want to go and try to ruin a relationship, ruin a marriage, ruin a friendship, say something behind someone's back. It doesn't really capture. I think many of us are like the birds. We speak sometimes at the Shabbos table, and slowly but surely the conversation trends towards Lashon Hara. And that's why the Mitzvah is to bring two birds. Okay. very quickly, when the tsaras afflicts the house, it sounds very, very interesting language. We know this language before. Kisavo el Eretz Kenan. Oh, we know what that language means. That's a preface for you should fulfill this mitzvah. You have the opportunity to conquer the land. Kisavo el Eretz v'nesati neged tsaras v'beis Eretz chuzaschem. And I will afflict you with tsaras on your home and force you to dismantle your walls and break down your house. It just seems very awkward syntax. It should be im, all the other cases of tsaras, im ye neged tsaras b'veis achuz aschem. This is how you should deal with it. Ki savo el aretz v'nesati. So it's actually, there's a silver lining to this story. Because the locals would be hiding all their gold and treasures for the 40 years in the walls of their home. So the Jews shouldn't be able to secure that wealth. And when you have a tsaras and make a hole in your wall, you take down a wall, you'll discover these hidden treasures. So it's actually, Rashi says, Besurhi lachem. Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving them some important information. This is not a mitzvah, but it's important information. Sh'anegayim bayim aleim, v'shitminu amarayim matmoni yoshal zav, b'kiyos bateim kol mem shana. Tremendous riches waiting for them in the walls. V'yadeh ha'negah notei tzabai zimotza. So an interesting Rashi, a lot to unpack here. First of all, it's fascinating that during the 40 years that we felt lost in history, we didn't have a clear sense of when we'd arrive in Eretz, so we knew that it'd be a 40-year delay. All the locals were still terrified of the Jewish invasion. And they didn't know that it'd be a 40-year lag. They thought it could happen tomorrow. If I were an MRI living in Eretz Yisrael, I would say, oh, let me read Parsha Shlach. I know it's going to be 40 years. I got 39 years. Let me use the wealth. Let me invest it. I don't need to start putting the money in the walls. Sounds like they're putting the money in the walls all 40 years. There's a lot of money to aggregate, a lot of rollover dividends. So sometimes in life, obviously these are all metaphors as well. Sometimes in life, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes you, others may not, or Am Yisrael, others may not know, and they still fear that the conquest and Mashiach or the Gula is imminent. What's also interesting is, this is a general statement, but it's a general statement that's presented within a particular context. A general statement is sometimes tragedy, misfortune, difficulty, inconveniences in life have a silver lining. You never know. And people that have lived a lot of their life, we can all tell you stories about misfortunes, frustrations we had that turned out being the best thing that ever happened to us. And we thought it was a disaster, and we thought it was an unmitigated calamity, and all of a sudden, and sometimes you have to have emunah, not to just accept. You know, every misfortune, sometimes misfortunes are misfortunes. Emunah doesn't mean gamzu l'tova. Sometimes today you hear that phrase being misused. Emunah means you understand Hashem has a purpose. Maybe a purpose to challenge you, maybe a purpose to draw out certain moral inventory, moral considerations. It doesn't mean that every misfortune that befalls you is going to have a silver lining. It means that every misfortune that falls you has a purpose. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not allowing it to happen through chance and random arbitrary circumstantial factors. But many do. And this reminds us that sometimes in life our misfortunes lead to discovering great treasures and great opportunities. But the particular context of this is stated in is Eretz Yisrael. That Eretz Yisrael, because part of Eretz Yisrael is not just conquering the land and settling the land, but also acquiring wealth and establishing a strong community, a strong society. And not everything about Eretz Yisrael will always be that rational and understandable. Particularly even though our life is sometimes indecipherable, sometimes our life is a cryptic riddle. But certainly the process of Gula and settling the land, for the events that will happen in settling the land that we believe to be unfortunate and we believe to be, as we say, setbacks. In the end, those setbacks turn out to be triumphs. And obviously it's an important statement in the wake of Yom HaAtzmaut, but there's so many events that happened over the last 73 years that we can trace. Oh, now we know that ended up being the best thing. I mean, even the fact that we're stripped of water resources, we're short. Now we are the major provider of water agrotechnology across the world. That wouldn't have happened. So many of our technologies have been products of challenges that we thought we were facing in Eretz Yisrael that were unique to Eretz Yisrael. So, already 15 minutes, I'll stop here. It's two interesting Rashis. Number one, the two different pathologies of Lashon Hara. Number two, the tsaras in the wall. Misfortunes will lead to great opportunities. Okay?